When I was a 10-year-old boy, I looked to him in faith, and he delivered me from all my transgressions. He lifted me out of the miry clay of sin, and he set my feet on a solid rock, and he established my goings. I'm thankful for you being here tonight, and for every visitor, and for the good prayer that was prayed. I'm thankful for those times when we're able to commune with God. And what a blessing it is. I know there are times in my life where I've just gotten a hold of the Lord and I just wanted to hang on. You know what I'm talking about? Don't let go. Don't want to let go. And I'm thankful for all that God is doing in these services and how he's been blessing us. Thankful for God's work in our churches. We need him. We need him. I'm going to read some scripture taken from the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, if you'd like to read along with me. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are at in all Achaia. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in verse 3 of chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have ye ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. I'm not sure what Paul experienced in Asia. I know he mentioned in the book of Ephesus that he wrestled with the beasts at Ephesus or in Asia Minor. Whatever it was, he was nigh unto death, or he felt like that he was going to die. He was in his hour of death, and he just thought this was it. This is the end. And whatever deliverance and consolation and comfort and salvation he experienced through all that, he equated it to the power of the resurrection. Ye also helped together by prayer for us. Prayer works. In other words, whatever deliverance Paul experienced at Ephesus, the church was on its knees. And he said, you helped in this deliverance. You were aiding me in this deliverance. You assisted in this deliverance by praying to God. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on your behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, or we've, in our life, while we've been living our life, the word conversation in the King James means a person's life, the way I've lived my life, the things that I've experienced in life, and the things that you've seen me experience in life. He said, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly toward you. In other words, he said, you've seen the grace of God working in my life. You know, as Paul wrote between these two letters, there was a profound experience that he went through. He equated it to the sentence of death, but when he begins this letter, he gives two titles to God. He first of all, when he begins in verse 3, and that's actually after the introduction, the letter itself, the epistle begins in verse 3, he says, blessed be God, or the word blessed means praise God. Praise God. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, the Father of mercies. Actually, this is a kind of the way the Jews or the Hebrews expressed a lot of their writings. It's kind of a phraseology that's nested in Hebrew poetry, where a noun performs the place of an adjective. He basically is saying that God, he is not only merciful, but he is the Father of mercies. See, I understand what mercy is. Mercy is God withholding something that we really deserve. We talk a lot about mercy, and if you go to church very long, you'll hear people talk about grace. Grace actually is that side or that aspect of things that we receive. Heaven is grace. Eternal life is grace. The gifts of God, the Spirit of God, all of those wonderful blessings that we receive, those are works of grace. Mercy, on the other hand, is God withholding something and not letting us experience something that we really deserve to experience. I wonder when Paul was saying that he is the Father of mercies, that he wasn't saying that I really deserve to die when I was in Asia, when I was at Ephesus. He said, but God showed me mercy. Listen, my friend. I don't know if you realize it or not, but if you transgress the law of God, you're under the sentence of death. Really, if you think about it, every time we sin, God has the right to take us out. But he withholds that. He's merciful to us. We actually don't receive the things that we rightly deserve. You know, aren't you glad that when you sin, and I know all of you sin, okay, I sin too. The Bible says we all sin and come short of the glory of God. But aren't you thankful that we don't receive our just recompense the moment we sin? Aren't you thankful that God is merciful to us and he gives us space for repentance and he gives us time and opportunity to get those things made right? Aren't you thankful that we don't instantly receive what we really deserve when we sin against God? Listen, every time you experience that, you've experienced God's mercy. God's people have all down through the ages of time, given different titles and different descriptions to God in connection with what they have experienced. Paul had experienced something profound. The church was very much aware of it. He called it the sentence of death. He described it as a despairing even of life. I don't know what kind of deep, dark place that Paul went through. It's not really given to us the exact account of what occurred in his life. But the result of that was that he said God is the Father of mercy. Not only that, but that he is the God of all comfort. Now, this experience that Paul had, he said that God would one of the attributes of that or one of the components of that is that God would use that experience that he had in his Christian walk as a minister and an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would use that to help others, to console others, to aid others. Now, we experience things in life, and I'm not sure that always the primary purpose of that is that we might help others. I believe there's just things that we experience that God wants us to experience. But in all of those cases, when opportunity presents itself, God gave us those experiences that we might help other people experience the comfort and the consolation that we received in our darkest hour, that they also might receive the same consolation that we received from God. That's what it says. But I wanted to just talk a few minutes about this consolation and these phrases, these titles that Paul gave to God, him being the Father of mercy and the God of, everybody say all. Say it louder than that, okay? Let's try again. All. He is the God of all comfort. Any circumstance or any affliction or any trial or any trouble that you go through, God is sufficient for that. He can help you with that. There is nothing our God cannot deliver you from. He can console you through any circumstance that you go through. He is the God of all comfort, and He helps us in all. Everybody say all. That's what the Bible says, huh? He helps us and He can console us in all of our afflictions. No matter what it is, He's able to help us. You know, I was thinking about all the people of God through the years and all the different expressions, all the different titles that they had given to God throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, in difficult times, God was given special names like Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. Many of these titles or names for God, they were birthed in an experience that somebody had with God. Abraham had an experience with God on Mount Moriah when he went up to offer up Isaac there. And at the end of that, after that angel drug that goat up at the backside of that mountain as a substitute for his son, he cried out and called that place Jehovah Jireh. God is our provider. Whatever your need is, I assure you He can provide your need. But I just want to go over some of these. I jotted some of these down. Like El Shaddai, the God of the mountains, or the Almighty God, the Elohim, the everlasting God, the Ekek Yamaneh, which means the Ancient of Days, that was birthed in Daniel going through a great trial in his life and through earnest prayer. I can go on and on and on as I talk about Jehovah Raphael, where God said in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 27, the Lord is our healer. Do you realize that if you got a scratch on you and that thing heals up, that God is the one who healed it? You can put as much Neosporin on it as you want, but if God don't intervene, you'll get an infection and that arm or that hand will fall off. They'll have to cut it off one. Listen, the Lord is our healer. He is Jehovah Raphael. He is not only that, but He is Jehovah Nissan. He is our leader. The Lord is our banner. He is our shepherd, it says in Psalms 23 and 1, which I believe means that He's not only our leader, He is our provision, and He is our protection. He is Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace. Or actually, the better translation is, the Lord is my peace. Yeah, Yahweh Shalom. Or I think about Yahweh Sabbath, or the expression the Lord of hosts, which was first used in Samuel when David stood before Goliath. And I'll tell you something, if you're 5'7" in a 9'7" world, you can go before the problems and the circumstances of this world, and you can go before those giants of your life, just like David did. Amen. And you can say, I don't have sword, and I may not have shield, but I come with the Lord of hosts. You too will slay a giant with a stone. Amen? I've slain a few. of a little rock and a sling. Not literally. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual things. Amen? I'm talking about emotional things. I'm talking about worldly things. But there's many of these. Not only those titles and things with respect to God, but also toward the Lord Jesus Christ, where in Psalms 2 and 2, he's called the Anointed One. Or in Zechariah 3 and 8, he's called the Branch. Or in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 4, I think it's having reference to Jesus Christ being the Captain and the Everlasting Father. In Isaiah 9 and 6, as I said the other night. Or in Isaiah 28 and 16, where it's referred to as a fountain and a foundation. Praise God. He is not only our foundation, but also he is a fountain. Have you been beneath the crimson flow? Have you had a drink of the living water? He is a fountain to us. And if you are a dry and thirsty soul tonight, I assure you, you can come and drink of living water. Jesus is that fountain. He is that living water. In Psalms 48 and 14, he is our guide. He's the Holy One of Israel. In Psalms 18, he's referred to as the horn of salvation. He is the Messiah in Daniel chapter 9, the mighty God in Isaiah 9 and 6. He is our Redeemer and our refuge. He is our righteousness, as we read about in Jeremiah 23 and 6. In Deuteronomy 32 and 15, he is a rock. In Isaiah 11 and 1, he is a rod. He is Shiloh. He is the Son of Righteousness. In Malachi 4 and 2, he's Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The point is this. In every description, in every name and title, as it is described, someone experienced God in that way. Paul said that he experienced God as the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts. In other words, with all of these titles, someone experienced God in the way that they described him. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. If you're unsaved tonight and you need Jesus Christ, he is the Son of Righteousness. He'll chase away all the gloom of your life. If you need Christ to deliver you, he can set you free. Hey, he will bring you out of condemnation. He will remove the chains from your soul. Sinners that need to be saved, if they'll come to the Lord, he will lift their load and he will set them free. And as the psalmist said that he was a great captain to set the captive free, we experience that in our lives, amen? He has set us free. You start coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll reveal your sins to you. He'll show you your iniquity. He'll show you you need the atonement, that you need the shed blood of Jesus applied to your heart. I believe Jesus is the only one that has ever really went into the proper holy of holies and really sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. You remember in that Ark of the Covenant, what was in there? God's broken law. And I'll tell you, there's only one thing that appeases God's broken law, and it's the blood of Jesus. And it was sprinkled on the mercy seat for me. It opened up a way of access for me into the holiest of all. Yeah. The point is this. You need Christ in you. Several times the Apostle Paul said that. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. He said Christ in you is the hope of glory. Peter said that we are begotten with a lively hope. In other words, many of these folks, when they experienced something from God and they glorified God and they gave God a title or a name with respect to what they had experienced, they were basically setting forth that glory that they had enjoyed in that experience and that title and that name that they gave for God. It was expressing a foretaste of something that was going to come. It was actually expressing a foretaste of heaven. Listen, if you've experienced something from God, that thing's an embryo of glory. Amen? It is. And I'm not just talking about when you get saved. I'm talking about throughout your life. In all the various circumstances of our life, and we know this, first of all, we know that Jesus is a comfort to the sinner. Amen? Do you know that tonight? That he can provide comfort to the sinner? That the sinner can come to him broken and contrite? A sinner can come with their sins to the foot of the cross and they'll receive consolation. They'll receive comfort. They'll receive peace. If you have a burden upon your heart, a heavy burden of sin, if you come to the foot of the cross, Jesus will lift that burden. He will. But he's also the comfort in other aspects of our lives. And all the different circumstances of our life, God constantly presents himself as real. God is a reality to the believer. I think it was Paul that wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherein we have access to grace, access to a channel of grace. Where we stand, and man, there's been times in my Christian walk where I've been knee-deep in God's grace, amen? Not only knee-deep, there are times it just flooded me. He said that he stood in God's grace, that the believer can stand in God's grace, wherein we have access unto his grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope and glory of God. Not only that, I think that's the ESV. I don't remember what King James is. But not only that, we glory in tribulation. Because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which he has given unto us. Amen. Jesus said in John 14 and 8, he said to his disciples, he said to his church, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. Come unto you. So, I'm of the opinion that in various circumstances of our lives as Christians, Christ shows up. Not just in saving us, but I mean in when we go through, like Paul was talking about, affliction, trials or troubles in our lives, the Lord will show up. Remember what Jesus said to one of the seven churches of Asia? He told them, he said, I'll come quickly. He said, I'll discipline you. He said, I'll chasten you. He said, but in your hour of temptation, I will keep you. And the Lord does. The Lord comes. He not only chastens us from time to time, he not only disciplines us, but he keeps us. He keeps us from the hour he told them. He said, and I can probably quote portions of it, where he says that I'll keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come upon the whole world. The Lord shows up. He was with his people and the whole world was going through trouble, but God was keeping his church. Wow. Most of these circumstances, they seem to be conforming us to the image of his son. Y'all know about that? I mean, if you're, regeneration is where it all starts, but sanctification keeps going on throughout your life. You know, and, you know, he works on us. He's conforming us to the image of his son. I mean, he's the potter, and we're the clay. And man, there's been times in my life that wheel was going around so fast, I didn't know what was going on in my life. It didn't make any sense. I was like going through one of those fiery trials, and I couldn't understand it. I could not explain it as though some strange thing was happening to me. But I felt the hand of God upon my life, and He was pressing me. And it seemed like at that particular time, He was pressing me above measure. It seemed like He was fixing to just destroy me. He was laying His hand so heavily against me. But I know that He was creating a vessel of honor out of me, and there was a purpose for the Heavenly Father laying His hand that heavily upon my life. He was conforming me to the image of His Son. Do you love the Lord supremely tonight? If you do, has that ever been tested? Have you ever gone up Mount Moriah and laid on the altar the thing you thought to believe to be most precious to you? While we live our lives, we are to bear the image of the second Adam. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is our head. In Him we live, we move, and have our being. In Him we have life. We're to grow in Him in grace and knowledge of the Lord. If you really desire to rise in holiness like Jesus Christ, you're going to have to go through the fire, and you're going to have to go through the testings and the trials, because gold is tried in the fire. And true gold, when it goes through the fire, the drosses are removed from it. And there are times in our lives that God needs to take the dross from our lives, and He uses the circumstances of our lives to try us and to test us and to purify us and make us better Christians. The thing of it is, God is comforting us every step of the way. You know, I've never talked to anybody that's gone through anything as a Christian that the Lord wasn't there with them. I've not talked to one single Christian that's ever gone through any kind of calamity or trouble or circumstance as a believer that did not tell me the Lord didn't leave them nor forsake them. He will not forsake you. Sometimes in the midst of that fire, you just got to say, show me your glory. Amen? Show me your glory. Our growth and prosperity as a church, it depends on Christ showing up in our lives, preserving us, and helping us. Has there ever been time in your life where only God will do? Has there ever been a time that you've gone through temptation or troubles and Christ alone was the only one that could preserve you? Have you ever had the sorrows of death compass you? I have me. Back when I was in my 20s, I had 370 volts go through this arm. I was this close to death. I had that much rubber on my shoe. In 2002, I had a blood clot circulating through my bloodstream, a big blood clot. Had it hit my heart, I would have died of a heart attack. Had it hit my lung, I would have stopped breathing. Had it hit my brain, I'd have been brain dead. But instead, it hit my spleen. I went into Vanderbilt Hospital, and the specialists down there, they came in with their entourage of young medics, and they, all of these that were studying medicine, and they were with the big shot that was down there at Vanderbilt Hospital. I was on so many pain meds, I don't know all the details, but I do know that they all came in, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, I'll find out what your problem is, and I'll be able to fix it. Well, after they blew bubbles in my heart, and they put enough stuff in me to probably light off a nuclear warhead and send me through all those machines, he came in my room with great sadness by himself this time, and he sat down beside of me and he said, I'm sorry. He said, I don't know what happened to you. I don't know how to fix you. All I can tell you is to take a baby aspirin. $60,000. I found out I needed to take a baby aspirin. It happened. That's the truth, I'm telling you. But he didn't know that while I was up in that hospital room, I crawled off in the bathroom underneath the toilet, and I cried out to God, and I said, God, oh, search me and show me if there's any evil thing in me. I said, Lord, I don't know why you're doing this to me. It's right in the middle of revival time. And the Lord came to me that day, and he showed up, and he assured me that he was the God of all mercies. And when that big shot from Vanderbilt sat down beside of me, I said, listen, Doc Sparrow, you have nothing to be concerned about, because I want to tell you something. I believe in the providence of God. I believe that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I believe that I'm still alive because God is the Father of all mercies. Listen, when the sorrows of death are compassing me, don't give me a tract to read. Don't tell me I need to go to some kind of recovery seminar. Come on. Don't tell me I need to go through some kind of special class or, you know, don't tell me, you know, and I appreciate all the sympathy and all the support people give me. You know, when I'm going through trials, or I'm in pain, or I've lost a loved one, or I'm suffering, and I understand the expression, time heals all wounds. But for me, nothing will do but God to show up. Don't tell me time will heal all wounds. I need the Ancient of Days in my life. I need a holy God. A God who has all power to give comfort and consolation in all my afflictions. And listen, my friend, in every single trial I've gone through, in every single affliction I've experienced, God has consoled me. And I'm of the opinion, and I know, that He will console you. You know, in the New Testament, every single book tells us of pending peril. The Lord Jesus Himself, He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. And the epistles, we are told about Judaizers and apostates and persecution and worldliness and testings and trials and hatred and despisers and false accusers and false prophets, dangers from without and dangers from within. And I assure you, my faith has been shaken, but it has not been shattered. There's been times in my life my hope's been bruised, but it's never been broken. My soul has been burdened, but it's never been bent. Our Lord said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Rather than giving up, like they did in the old, none of them did in the Old Testament, we should not give up, and they didn't give up, and we shouldn't give up either. They held on, and they came through as conquerors for Jesus Christ. And that's what the church is to do today. Conquerors for the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this, Jeremiah 20:11. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. God came to Isaiah, said, you keep preaching, Isaiah 41:10, and said, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you, God does that. He shows up and He helps us and He upholds us. If you're facing a need too great for you to meet, you're not alone. He comforted others, He'll comfort you. He delivered others, He'll deliver you. He set the captive free. For others, He'll set you free. He blessed others, He'll bless you. He calmed the storm for others, He will calm your storm. He moved mountains for others, He will move your mountain.
All you need is for the Lord to show up. I'm like those disciples that were down in the boat, and I cried out, Lord, save me. And that's all you need to do is cry out, Lord, save me. And Jesus lifted his hand, and he calmed the storm. And praise God, through my life, I've called upon his name, and he calmed the storms in my life. Quit. Listen to me. I don't know who you are and who this message is for. But quit trying to solve your supernatural problems by using natural resources. You cannot find solutions at the beauty shop. You will not find your solutions by searching the internet. You will not find the solutions at the library. Oprah will not help you. Dr. Phil will not help you. Dr. Oz will not help you. The gossip line, the grapevine, or the phone line won't help you. Jesus is the only answer. He's the only one that can help you. And you need to cry out to Jesus. Listen, if you have a supernatural need, you need a supernatural answer. My daughter held the highest averages of bowling in the state of Tennessee. Don't ever bowl Tiffany. She's good. Bowls like a guy. She hurls that ball down there and takes up the entire lane, has this spin on it. She got a scholarship to college, to Martin Methodist in Pulaski, Tennessee. Man, I was elated. Praise God. You know, she got a scholarship. Don't have to pay for college. I thought, you know, I was off the hook. One late night, about 12:30, 1 o'clock, she came into our room and she sat down beside of our bed. And she was crying. And I said, honey, what's wrong? And she said, well, I've been praying about this decision. It's a big decision going off to college and which college to go to. And I've always taught my kids those big decisions of life get leadership from the Lord. And she said, the Lord, I've been praying. And she said, the Lord has made it clear to me that I can't go to college in Pulaski, but that I need to go to Western University. And she was weeping, and she said, God, she said, I fear that I would disgrace God if I went down to Pulaski. She said, I'm not sure that I'd be able to continue to serve him as I have. She says, but up there at Western, they've got the Students Union. They've got Brother Jerry and Brother Jeff and Brother Jerry Reynolds and Brother Steve Skinner and Brother Luke's going up there. And there's some Christian friends that attend that college. And I can be around Christian folks. And I can go to church on Wednesday night. And she said, I'm afraid if I don't stay plugged in to the things of God, the devil might come into my life and hurt me and ruin me. She was crying. You know why she's crying? Because she was afraid to tell me because I was going to pay for her to go to Western. But see, I can't be her God. I cannot be her shepherd. I can be a father to her, and I can give her some guidance and some instruction, but my children and your children, your grandchildren, they need leadership from the Lord. And I said, Timmy, that's all right. We'll make a way somehow. It doesn't matter. If you're convinced this is where the Lord is leading you, that's where you need to go. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord leads us, aren't you? Yeah. When you need love, he's love. When you need mercy, he is the Father of all mercies. When you need joy, in his presence is the fullness of joy. When you need peace, he is the Prince of Peace. When you need deliverance, he sets the captive free. When you need healing, he will heal you of all your diseases. When you need strength,
He is the lifter up of your head. When you need guidance, He is the good shepherd. When you need protection, He will send His angels to give charge over you that no weapon shall be formed against you. When you need provision, He owns the cattle on a thousand hill. I paid for her college education and never missed a dime. I tell you, God is a great provider, isn't He? She never even had to take a student loan out. And that's a miracle for a preacher in our ranks who, well, I'm not even going to go there. But anyway, when you need power, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You go to the Alpha and the Omega. When you need direction, Jesus, He is the bright and morning star. He flung the stars upon the velvet of the night. He holds the mountains in a scale. He holds the valley in a balance. He made the lame to leap, the dumb to speak, and the dead to live again. If you're looking for answers, go to Jesus. He will not and He cannot fail you. All right, well, I'm going to close. I'm going to close with one of my favorite verses. Brother Wheat, you can tell that these verses that he quotes, they're just not something that's rolling around in his head. Man, they're an experience that he's enjoyed. One of my favorites is in Psalm 32 and 7, Brother Dallas. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance. You know, when I go through trouble, I hear those songs of victory, like the song of Moses and the song of redemption, those songs of victory. We're victorious through Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. With Him, I can do all things. Without Him, I can do nothing. He is my strength. And He is my shield. He is my buckler. He is my high tower. He is my rock. He is my shepherd. And He is my Savior. Is He your shepherd tonight? Let's get a song. I didn't mean to preach this long. Is He your Savior? Have you ever been to Him for the answer concerning the forgiveness of sin? Have you ever come to Him in bitter repentance? If you have a need tonight, don't leave here without going to Jesus. This altar is open. If you've never been to one of our services before, we're going to have a song and we're going to give an invitation. And this altar is for people who have needs, who are trying to come to Jesus, who need answers. We don't want you to just come to this altar, but it's a good place to find the answers for what's ailing you. I believe the altar is open not only to just lost people. I think it ought to be open to saved people. You may differ with me, but I believe this altar is erected here in this space is here for people that are going through situations and circumstances in their life, and they need help, they need comfort, they need consolation. Paul said He is the Father of mercy, and He is the consoler and the comforter. God is a great comfort if you'll just come to Him tonight. Let's sing. Is there somebody here you've never experienced the comfort
number
that comes from Jesus?
Number 185.
Stand and let's sing. Are you here tonight?